Now, here in Canada, work in the ivory tower doesn't typically come with danger pay. But in many other countries, academics put their safety or even their lives on the line to do their work. The Scholars at Risk Network helps arrange positions of sanctuary for them at safe universities around the world. Now, soon that's going to include Carleton University and the University of Ottawa. Melanie Adrian is the chair of the Carleton University Scholars at Risk Committee and an assistant professor in the Department of Law and Legal Studies. She's with me now in the studio. And also joining us is Farai Gonzo. Farai fled to Canada from Zimbabwe, where she taught media studies and worked as a journalist. And she's a participant in the Scholars at Risk program in Toronto. And she's in Ottawa today for the launch of the program in this city. Good morning to you both.
Good morning. Good morning.
Thanks so much for coming in. Melanie, let's start with you, because the Scholars at Risk Network, it's actually based in New York. Why did you want to bring it here?
It's a fabulous program, and Ottawa, the region of Ottawa, was not a center of refuge for some of the scholars. And I thought this would be a perfect place to receive scholars and to give them an environment where they can sit for a year and just breathe for a moment and reassess their situation.
And you have a bit of a personal story, too, because you were on an event you were taught by a participant in the program?
I was taught by a professor, yes, in my graduate study years, in my early graduate student years. And he influenced me greatly, both professionally and personally.
Where was he from?
So he was from Iran, and he was a theologian, a liberal theologian. And so he really influenced the way that I thought about Islam, which is what I study and what I write about today. And he also really influenced me personally, because he was just extraordinarily brave for continuing on to do what he does, even in the face of a lot of opposition.
So he was part of this program. Did he then have to go back to Tehran afterwards?
He didn't.
Oh, he didn't.
He wasn't able to.
Right.
So his situation forced him to stay abroad, and he held various lectureships, but now has a permanent position.
Because I guess that would be one of the questions, is professors who are coming, seeking sanctuary, seeking refuge, does the program necessarily mean that they will be able to stay in Canada, to stay in Ottawa?
No. So the purpose of the program really is to give them 1 year of reprieve. So a year where they can think about what steps they'd like to take next. Some scholars end up returning to their home countries that year, having kind of calmed the situation. And then some scholars find that they can't return. And so then they look for either other opportunities, temporary ones, or more permanent ones.
I really want to focus on the positives of this program, but I do have to ask, I mean, if some of these scholars are going back to their countries, could they not even be in more danger because they came and they did something that was not allowed in their own country?
That's right. And so what they have to do is really assess for themselves what position they're going to be putting themselves and their families and extended families in if they do return or if they don't return. So it really all depends on the situation and the context.
Okay. I'm going to hear more from you in a second, but I want to hear your story, Farai. You're from Zimbabwe, and this program actually helped you after you had left Zimbabwe to come to Canada as a refugee. Can you just tell us your story? You were working there as a journalist. Why were you forced to flee Zimbabwe?
Okay. As a journalist in Zimbabwe, since 2002, when new opposition parties were coming on board, things were becoming very difficult because you couldn't talk about them on air. Yeah.
So you were working for the Zimbabwe Broadcasting Corporation?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. So the programs that I produced, mainly they were like transformative. I wanted to make a change in people's lives. So it was after the government had demolished shacks. They were calling them shacks, illegal structures, because when things were getting tough in the rural areas, a lot of people came into the city and they were just building shacks, maybe at their relatives' houses, mm-hmm. like makeshift housing. So the government demolished those houses because a lot of support was going to the opposition because the population had gone higher. So they put them at a farm where there were no like facilities like sanitation, water. So we would record them and come and talk to the ministers what they are doing about it.
So you dared to report about the destruction of these shacks by the government.
Yes.
What happened to you after that?
It didn't blow up then, but later on, 2007, there was an establishment of the opposition party, MDC. So initially, they were not allowed to come on air, but they won a court in the court of law that they can do anything in the on air.
But what happened to you? What happened to you?
Yeah, they took us. There were three of us. They took us. They interrogated us for 2 days, and they were torturing us, asking us, whom are you supporting? Who's financing you to bring such information on air? So we were detained for 2 days, and they said we were going to go before the parliamentary committee meeting to be interrogated and then know our fate. So once that happens, half the time you don't come back, you don't go back home, you just sometimes disappear. So I was an intern with the United Nations, so I had a contact then, and they organized that we move out of Zimbabwe, not by plane, but by bus. I didn't have like enough bus fare because I had just come from Australia. So my mom had to sell some cows to a butcher to facilitate for my air ticket. Then we went by bus to South Africa and then to America.
What a story. You said you were tortured?
Yes.
You're pulling down your shirt and showing me quite a large scar on your chest.
Yeah.
What happened?
They have like hot tongues where they put on you, either on your feet and on your back, and they ask you.
Of course. What a terrible situation. I'm sorry to have brought up those memories for you. In a way, when you look at where you are now, from where you came from, I mean, what has it meant for you to be in Canada and to be teaching here, to be studying here?
It means a lot to me, but I still think of others who are left behind, who have to report on things they don't believe in because they just have to make a living, or as well as they just want to be alive and like get money out of the things they don't believe in. So I just think about how stifled they are, how stifled they feel, especially as things are getting worse in the country.
Melanie, you're hearing this story. I can see that you're obviously touched by it too. What are you thinking?
I'm so glad that we're starting this program. We can't make a global dent in the sense that these are issues that are so big. We all need to work on them collectively. But at least we are, as an initiative, we will hopefully bring one scholar every year. So this will be the first year. And hopefully we can do this every year so that we're not going to stop this from happening, but we are going to bring people here who can report back about mm-hmm. what's happening and who can help us understand and can help us formulate ideas around what to do next.
Farai, just to end with you, I mean, you've come so far in a lot of ways. Do you think that you would ever return to Zimbabwe?
Not until there's a regime change.
Yeah.
Yeah, because you don't know what can happen to you. Although I miss the people, I miss the streets, I miss everything, the food, the weather, but I can't risk that by doing that now.
So you're making change, but somewhere else.
Yes.
Well, listen, we're glad to have you here. Thank you very much for coming in and telling your story. Brave woman. Melanie Adrian is the chair of Carleton University Scholars at Risk Committee, and Farai Gonzo is a participant in the Scholars at Risk program in Toronto. The first Ottawa participant is expected to arrive here next August.